अनाघस्व इह भूतेषु यांगस्कृन्निरंकुश आहर्तास्मि भुजं साक्षात् अमर्तस्यापि सांगदम् अनाघस्व इह भूतेषु यागस्कृन्निरंकुशः आहर्तास्मि भुजं साक्षात् अमर्तस्यापि सांगदम् अनाघस्व इह भूतेषु यागस्कृन्निरंकुशः आहर्तास्मि भुजं साक्षात् अमर्तस्यापि सांगदम् अनागश इह टू द ऑफेंसलेस भूतेषु लिविंग बीइंग्स यह द पर्सन आगह कृत कमिट्स ऑफेंस निरंकुशः अपस्टार्ट आहर्ता अस्मि आई शैल ब्रिंग फोर्थ भुजम आर्म्स साक्षात् directly amartasya api even one who is a demigod sa angadam with decorations and armor translation and purport by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki an upstart living being who commits offenses by torturing those who are offenseless shall be directly uprooted by me even though he be a denizen of heaven with armor and decorations. Purport. The denizens of the heavenly kingdom are called Amara or deathless due to their possessing a long span of life, far greater than that of a human being. For a human being who has only a maximum 100-year duration of life, a span of life spreading over millions of years is certainly considered to be deathless. For example, from the Bhagavad Gita, we learn that on the Brahmalok planet, the duration of one day is calculated as 43 lakh multiplied by 1,000 solar years. Similarly, in other heavenly planets, one day is calculated to be 6 months of this planet. And the inhabitants get a life of 10 million of their years. Therefore, in all higher planets, since the span of life is far greater than that of a human being, the denizens are called deathless by imagination. Although actually, no one within the material universe is deathless. Maharaj Parikshit challenges even such denizens of heaven if they torture the offenseless. This means that the state executive head must be as strong as Maharaj Parikshit so that he may be determined to punish the strongest offenders. It should be the principle of a state executive head that the offender of the codes of God is always punished. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरे ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धवेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण An upstart living being who commits offenses by torturing those who are offenseless shall be directly uprooted by me, even though he be a denizen of heaven with armor and decorations. So this chapter is entitled Punishment and Reward of Kali. So these chapters are actually the biography of Maharaj Parikshit. If you see, the internet is all about people's lives. People want to know what important people are doing. But it's of no use, or it's not much spiritual benefit in discussing the lives or the biographies of people who are not spiritually advanced. So the principle remains, but what is important is to discuss and understand that how great people have lived their lives. And Parikshit Maharaj is in fact, many places, Parikshit Maharaj, even though he's a politician, he's known as a sage, saintly king. Now, how many times or how many people do you find who's actually a politician and a sage at the same time? You don't find. And Prabhupada said that there are some people who are saints amongst politicians and some people are politicians amongst saints. To find a combination of saintliness and at the same time being a politician is very rare. And in order to understand what is religion, what is dharma, which generally is very confusing. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, it is said, Tarko apratishtho shrutayo vibhinna nasa rishir yasya matir na vinnam dharmasya tatvam nihitam ghaya mahajano ye nagata sapantaha. You cannot understand religion simply by debating. Chalo, debate karte. You cannot. God has not equipped us with the senses and a mind and intelligence by which we can fathom the absolute. Tarko apratishtho shrutayo vibhinna. Because even if you read the scriptures and try to understand it logically with your intelligence, it is not possible to come to a definite conclusion, because even amongst the people who read the scriptures, people are having different conclusions. Nasav rishir yasya matirna bhinnam. So, dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhaya. So, dharma is very difficult to understand. Then how to understand? Mahajano yena gata sapantaha. So, walk in the footsteps of great saintly souls. And for that, we will have to hear about the lives of great saintly souls. And therefore, these pages are revealing the life of Maharaj Parikshit, who was the greatest of all kings and Maharishis, Maharaj Parikshit. So, here we can understand that the scene is that Maharaj Parikshit is going about in his kingdom, looking to weed out any troubles, because already on the departure of Lord Shri Krishna, the Pandavas had already seen the effects of Kali Yuga, because after the departure of Krishna, the Yuga had changed, Kali had set in, or in the process of setting in. The symptoms of Kali was already manifesting. So Maharaj Parikshit decided to take it upon himself to check it out. And he came to a scene where there was a cow and a bull, and there was a Shudra, a low class man who was dressed as a king, and he was beating the bull, and he had also broken three legs of the bull. The bull was somehow managing to walk on one leg, and there was a cow also which was weeping. It didn't have a calf, and it was very thin, and she was passing urine, and she was very frightened. So Maharaj Parikshit, on seeing that, he became aghast, because the Vedic period and the Guru's rule, Kauravas and the Pandavas, and it is explained that the subjects had not yet shed a teardrop due to the negligence of the royal order. First time Maharaj Parikshit is seeing that because of some mismanagement, this atrocity is being done unto a bull and a cow. So it was very astonishing for Parikshit at first to see that what is this happening here? At first he thought that this is it an illusion? It is an apparition, or is it some god in disguise who has appeared as a bull and a cow to test me? Because, you know, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we come across animals talking, and here even the bull talks, even the cow talks, yes? And people who are not accustomed to trying to understand it in a different way, they get confused and they may think that it is mythology, you know, that these things are not possible. But actually, people just hear what they want to hear. they see what they want to see. Because their mind is so filled with some brainwashed thing, like, you know, so they're filled with rubbish, basically. But we have to learn to see it differently. You know that story of that ant? Two ants, one was living in a salt factory, one was living on a sugar factory. He was living there, and somehow there was this flood. And the ant from the salt factory was swept away and brought to the sugar factory where another ant was living. So the other ant welcomed him. Come, come, please. Oh, I have a guest. Please come here. What can I offer you to eat? Please take some sugar. So the ant said, all right. And he took the sugar and he spat it out. And he said, this is horrible. So the other ant was surprised. I thought ants eat sugar. Why, you are not liking sugar? No, no, it just tastes horrible. And then after some time, he saw that there is something in his mouth. Some bulge. So he said, what's in your mouth? He said, oh, that is salt. Why is there salt in your mouth? So when I knew that there was going to be a flood, I stocked my mouth with salt so that in case if there is a drought or if I don't get enough to eat, I can eat this salt which is in my mouth. So the other ant said, but you know, if you want to enjoy the sweetness of sugar, you'll have to spit out that salt. He says, no, 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 I cannot do that. Now, how can you get this taste of sugar? Because sugar and salt, if you put it together, it tastes very horrible. So people who have been groomed differently in the modern education, you know, have to take up a different approach to understand this. And even Maharaj Parikshit, for our own welfare, is asking this question, who are you? Are you some demigod who is coming in the disguise of a bull and a cow in order to test me? And in fact, yes, they were gods in disguise. The modern thinkers and philosophers may say that these are extraterrestrials, you know, who have come and living on the earth amongst humans disguised as, you know, as animals or humans also. So they may look at it that way. But any which ways, they were gods. And there have been so many instances where the kings of the past were tested by gods who came in human form, in animal forms. Like Maharaj Yudhishthir was tested by a dog. You know, Dharma, he was Dharma, who came and tested Yudhishthir. Now again, Dharma has come in a disguise as a bull in order to test Maharaj Parikshit. So you see, it is a test, and Maharaj Parikshit is looking for signs. Is he a god? And he's seeing that how can a bull move with one leg? And he's seeing that, oh, the cow's feet is touching the ground. So definitely he can't be a god, because god's feet don't touch, like Agni and, you know, these gods, when they come on earth, it is said that their feet don't touch the ground. We come across animals speaking. How do we understand it? According to a Puranas, you know, it is said that all the animals could speak once upon a time. Yeah. You know, this Shivaratri time, we were discussing this Tarakasur. This demon whom Lord Shiva killed. Yes. So he performed tapasya. And Brahma appeared and says, what do you want? He said, I want to become immortal. Brahma said, I myself am not immortal. Ask for something else. Okay, if I have to be killed, let me be killed by the son of Lord Shiva. Because he knew Shiva was not married at that time. Naturally, he was a yogi. There was no possibility for him to get married also. So he doesn't have a son. So if he doesn't have a son, I will never be killed. So I will become eternal, immortal. So Brahma said, Tathastu, left. And he started terrorizing the universe. So now they thought, now what to do? They went to Brahma, you created this, you gave him the blessing, now you do something. So Brahma said, now what can I do? So the only thing to do is for Shiva to have a son. Now he doesn't have a son, so you have to get him somehow arranged for his marriage. And for that you'll have to break his tapas, his meditation, his yoga. So what did they do? They assembled the god and said, send the god of love. to incite him, to tempt him. So then they sent Cupid. Cupid went and he did his job. Mahadev became angry. He opened his third eye. God of love was burnt to ashes. But at the same time, he entered into Grihastha Ashram, married Parvati. Now that process took so long that the gods were eager and waiting that when will this end, so that, you know, we can see the next episode. So they assembled the gods and they said, we need to appoint a god who can go and give a message to Lord Shiva that, please, enough, yes. But who will do this task of going again to Lord Shiva, Mahadev? So then they appointed Agni. So Agni thought, my God, if I go, I will also be like that, meet with the same fate as Kamdev. So he went and hid himself in the mountains. So the mountains started becoming hot, the glaciers and, you know, the ice started melting there. The people living there, the animals living there, they started complaining. They started calling the gods, Agni is hiding here, please take him away. So Agni became very upset, and it is said in the Puranas, Puranic story, that he cursed the animals that you will become dumb. And then Agni went into the ocean, started living in the ocean. There also the ocean started becoming very hot. The fish and everyone, they started complaining. Agni is here, please take him. He's making this place uninhabitable for us. So Agni cursed them also, that you also become dumb. So it is said in the Puranas that animals could speak before. It's only because of the curse of Agni that they lost the ability to speak. But the parrot species, they went to Agni and they asked for forgiveness. And Agni forgave them and said, amongst all animals, you will be the one to speak. And you will speak sweetly, just like a baby. You can imitate voices. And therefore, you see that Shukadev, parrots have this quality. They can repeat very well. They don't subtract anything, they don't add anything. Whatever they hear, they speak. And therefore, Shukadev, who was the original parrot of Radharani, he had this ability of repeating what he had seen, what he had heard from Radha and Krishna. And he went to Kailash to hear Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Lord Shiva to Parvati. And Parvati slept, but the parrot was listening. And the parrot was responding, yes, yes, yes. So Mahadev, with his eyes closed, he was so absorbed in speaking, he did not realize that his wife was sleeping. The parrot was listening. So after the 12 cantos were over, Parvati woke up and said, have you spoken the 10th canto? Have you spoken Radha Krishna Leela? I want to hear about Ras Leela and all those things. So Mahadev said, I finished with that. The whole Bhagavatam, I completed. Weren't you listening? No, I slept. And who was responding by saying, yes, yes, very nice, please carry on, carry on. And then he paid attention and he saw that within the trees in the forest, there was this parrot. And he became very upset. He took this trishul and he says, how an unqualified person is sitting in the Bhagavatam class. And he went with his trishul to kill that parrot. And the parrot flew from there and went to Badrikashram. Because there again, Veda Vyas was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife Vatika. And his wife was so astonished with the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam that she was sitting with her mouth opened. And in order to escape the fury of Lord Shiva, the parrot entered into her mouth. So it is said that. And then Veda Vyas stopped Lord Shiva and said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to kill this parrot because he was unauthorized participant of the Bhagavatam class. So then Veda Vyas said, you tell me, Lord Shiva, that what is the result of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Lord Shiva said, anybody who hears Srimad Bhagavatam attains mukti, attains bhakti. So then Veda Vyas said, then how is it possible for you to kill this parrot? Lord Shiva scratched his head and he said, yes, you're right, actually. And he turned around and went back to Kailash. And, you know, that personality emerged from Vatika as the son of Veda Vyas as Shukadev. And he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, you know, our faith is challenged every now and then in the holy scriptures when we come across such passages where cows are speaking and bulls are speaking. And His Holiness Radharath Maharaj used to say that even if you have an iota of doubt on this Srimad Bhagavatam, you miss the chance of liberation, you miss the chance of bhakti. You must have 100% faith that what this is being spoken is not mythology, it is actual history, ithihas. And it is as potent as the Vedas. Because in the Vedas it is explained, ithihasam puranam panchamam vedana, Vedic aphorism. Do not think that the Puranas, do not think that the ithihasas are Smriti Shastra. It is not as potent as the Vedas. No, because the Vedas itself proclaim that these are the Vedas. Should be considered as such and should be considered as authoritative. So here, Maharaj Parikshit is looking at the animals and he's not jumping to conclusions. He's not immediately taking his sword out and he's killing Kali. He's not doing that. He's taking his time. And even though it seems that the cow and the bull are in a pitiful situation, but he's doing a thorough investigation. He's asking, who are you? You are dressed as a king, but your activities are like that of a Shudra. Because to kick a cow, according to Vedas, it is explained that if you look at a cow, even if you have to die in a goshala, you will get mukti. Early in the morning, people take darshan of the cow, especially the backside of a cow, for auspiciousness. Touch the cow, you worship it. But here is a man who is kicking the cow. It was unheard of. This is not the work of a twice born. This is not the work of a civilized, cultured person. So he could understand that by the dress, he is a Kshatriya, but by his actions, he is a Shudra. Because it is actually the qualities and the activities which make a person. Not simply the, you know, the dress or the name also. You know, you may have the surname Dwivedi or Chaturvedi, you know, but he may be a security guard. See, titles were given in those days because they actually had read the two Vedas. Or they had read the four Vedas. So then their name used to be Chaturvedi or Dwivedi or Sharma, Joshi, or whatever, you know, according to the qualifications. But then those titles were taken on by the children. And even though the children had no qualities, but still they were Dwivedis, Chaturvedis, or for that matter, Bahadur Singh, Veer Bahadur. But they see a rat and they're afraid. Are babre. So definitely, dresses don't define what a person is. And if you, like a policeman, he may be undercover policeman. He may be CID. He's not wearing a uniform, but he's still a police. So dresses don't define anything. The surnames and titles and all these are, you know, you can go on putting titles. Titles give for titles. But what is the point? There's nothing inside. Empty. But some people, they shine because of their qualities. They don't need to advertise. In fact, all the advertised things are all make-believe. You don't advertise like gehu, rice, apples. Are they advertised? Because everybody knows we have to eat to survive. Only those things are advertised which are not really needed. To create a demand, kharido. That's why they flash you with all these advertisements. So therefore, he immediately understood that he is not a Kshatriya. He's only dressed as a Kshatriya. And great souls can understand by looking, simply looking, that what Varna does he belong? What Varna does he belong? So Parikshit, being very advanced, he could understand he's a Shudra. Not by birth, but by qualities. He's not born. Nobody is born. Everybody is born a Shudra. Janmana jayate Shudra. Samskarad bhaved dvija. Ved pathad iti vipra brahma janate iti brahma. That you have to be get a sanskara in order to become a dvija. You have to undergo the process of accepting initiation. You have to read the Vedas to become a vipra. And you have to understand the spirit, you have to understand God, you have to become a devotee to be called a Brahmin. So here, he he is not jumping to conclusions, even though he's seeing that the cow is in distress and the bull is in distress, and this man apparently seems to be the oppressor, an aggressor, a terrorist, but he does not jump to conclusion, which is a very, very important lesson that Parikshit Maharaj is giving, that one should not take sides. Even though a person may be in distress, apparently. Like, for example, you may be out on the streets and you may find some people badly beating up a person. But then when you investigate, you may find out that that man was trying to kill somebody, or he was trying to loot somebody, or trying to, you know, abuse some person. So you cannot take sides simply based on a suffering of someone. To understand, investigate. You have to keep your eyes open, you have to be observant. And that in itself gave a lot of hope and assurance to Bhudevi and Dharva. That in itself. Because because they are Dharma, they are gods, and they are seeing that how is this Parikshit Maharaj behaving? A leader or a judge generally does not take decisions based on what he sees only. He has to hear also. Like just yesterday I was making the point, like, you know, the justice, what do you call that? The statue of justice, yes? The statue of justice. Mm-hmm. Standing with that equilibrium. Yes. Andha kanun, like that. So basically, not seeing the external situation, but most people are just seeing externals. What can you see with your eyes? How much can you see? Even people seeing and they're not seeing. Just yesterday, my family sent me one message on WhatsApp. There was this doctor and he was having his apprentices. He was teaching them. So he took them to the lab and all of the apprentices are, you know, wearing their masks and things like that. Not masks, but that headscarves and things like that. And standing around this table, and this professor, he takes a bottle and he's showing that this is urine sample. Doctors, you know, so urine sample. And everybody, all the new, first day in the laboratory, and they're looking what it is. And the professor is saying, so now you observe carefully. He opens the bottle and he puts his finger inside and he licks it. Everybody's thinking, oh my God, that's gross. So then he says, now you have to do what I have done. So they looked at each other and thought, what is this? Ooh, but theek hai, professor bol rahe hai, toh humko karna chahiye. So they also put their finger and they licked it. And then the professor is saying, look what I did. Observe carefully. What I told you, observe carefully. I dipped my first index finger and I licked my, you know, ring finger. That you didn't see. That you didn't see. People, they see and they are seeing something, or they are thinking something. What can we see? Hey, investigate. I remember in my school days, we had this story, you know, of a lady who had adopted a mongoose. And the mongoose was very friendly with the child. And one day the snake came when the mother was out going to fetch water. A snake came inside the house. And the mongoose went and killed that snake. And he had blood all on his face. And when the mother was coming back home, the mongoose went and was proudly trying to say that, mother, just see what I've done. I've saved my baby brother from this snake. But he couldn't speak, and mother thought, seeing all that blood on his face, she concluded that this mongoose has actually killed the child. She took the pitcher of water and threw it on the mongoose and killed it, only to find when she went home that it was actually the snake which was killed, and the child was hale and hearty. And then she started lamenting. And here is a very important message, that a person in leadership position, who's in the position of a judge and establishing of dharma, cannot take sides. And that is the hallmark of a devotee, that he is having no vested interest. And therefore they can make the right decisions. And that in itself gives assurances to people that here is a good leader, good leadership. Because he has not taken sides. It's not that we hear from somewhere and he says, ah, wo aisa hi hai. We hear from him, oh, aisa kiya usne. Dekho, main bola na, aisa hi hai. So that's what we all want to hear. We gossip mongers, we want to see faults. But no, He's given an equal opportunity for everybody to speak. And the first person he's asking is, who are you? Who are you? You're dressed like a king, but your activities seem to be like a Shudra. So, the cow represents Mother Earth. The cow gives milk. And Mother Earth blesses all of us with the gift of mukti. We need Mother Earth because without her, none of us will get mukti. She was very thin. And that Kali kicking the cow represents the exploitation of the earth. The passing of the urine by the cow represents the diminishing or deterioration of Mother Earth due to the advent of Kali. It also represents the abuse of cows. We know that, you know, per day, 9 lakh cows are killed all over the world, slaughtered. And the earth, she represents earth basically, and it is now if you see that the amount of pollution, 1/3 it is said, because of mining and industrialization, 1/3 of the world's natural resources are depleted just within the last 40 years. 80% of the earth's forests have disappeared. And you know, it is the Amazon, it is said, when I was just looking up some things about the deforestation and all, I came across the statistics, it said that the Amazon, which is actually one of the largest tropical forests of the world, they're cutting down trees to the tune of about 3,000, Hare Krishna, about 2,500 to 3,000 trees per minute. Per minute. People are exploding mountains, digging crevices and taking out minerals and cutting down the trees and taking the water from the rivers and slaughtering the animals. And ultimately, what do we have? We have pollution, there's no global warming. And it is amazing to see that 5,000 years ago, this has been predicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What need is there to go to astrologers? Open Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find everything. 5,000 years ago, this has been predicted. What will happen to Earth? And Mother Cow is being exploited. You know, there is this famous novelist in India, without names. She was saying, why these Hindus or these Sanatan Dharma followers, kind of hypocritical, kind of, I'm just paraphrasing, it may not be exactly what she said. Because they say that you can eat the flesh of a goat or a chicken, but you cannot eat the flesh of a cow. Flesh is flesh, ultimately. Killing is killing, murder is murder. Whatever animal, one should not kill. Why are they discriminating? Goat kha sakte hain. Murgi kha sakte, gai ko nahi kha sakte. If you allow that, you allow that also. And then in that post, somebody, some defender of Sanatana Dharma was giving a logic. So then you can say the same thing about men. All men are the same. Men are men. So then it doesn't make any difference, brother, husband, son. What difference it makes? It's a matter of relationship. You know, you have a relationship. Men are men, but you have a relationship of a wife to him, or you may be having a relationship of a sister to someone, or you may be the mother of some man. They are men, nevertheless, but they are different. So also there is a relationship that we have with cows. Naturally we see that we drink the milk of a cow. I mean, a mother gives milk for how many? 6 months to maybe 2 years, the child will drink milk, mother's milk. But after that, what? He drinks the milk of cow or a buffalo for the rest of his life. The most famous sweets in the world, like the favorite food of people in the world, is what? Chocolate, which is a Western kind of a sweet, but still you cannot make good chocolate without milk. You can, but people love milk chocolate. And this sandesh and barfi and rabadi and gulab jamun, rasmalai, what all wonderful sweets you can make with cow milk. How valuable is cow? That its dung is used as a fuel, as a fertilizer, as a pesticide. Its urine is used as for so many purposes. And what it takes, its skin is used when it dies. The skin is used as a, you know, it can be used as material for shoes. You can make shoes out of leather shoes. You can make mridangas out of the skin. Every part of a cow is so useful. And what you have to do to maintain it, nothing. You just leave it out, it grazes, eats green grass and gives you all these things. It's God's creation. It's a God's gift to humanity. And really, I also was just trying to do a little research. What is the favorite milk of people in the world? If you just Google it, you'll see that it is cow milk. And statistics say that there is about 780 or 50 million tons of cow milk which is consumed per year. 750 million tons of cow milk above everything. And then next is about 140, 50 million tons of buffalo milk. And then about 30 million odd goat milk. And then after that, 10 million tons of sheep milk. And then about 3 million tons of camel milk. Naturally, you see, everybody loves cow milk. Statistics shows it. God has made a cow as a mother for us. It is God's gift. It is Lord's arrangement. It's not man-made. We can see naturally it happens. So that argument was being made. You have a relationship. You drink the milk of the animal. Naturally, it becomes your mother. Atma mata guru patni brahmani raja patnika dhenu dhatri tadha prithvi saptaita matara smrita. We have seven mothers, our own mother. Atma, the guru patni, the wife of a guru, wife of a Brahmin, wife of a king. And cow is also one of the mothers. So, how can one refute? So the argument, they were saying that, unfortunately today we see cat lovers, dog lovers, but very rarely do we find people protesting and becoming cow lovers. Cow lovers. I remember I was going on a walk in this Marine Drive. Yeah. So, you know, during COVID times, there was not much crowd like. So that place had become very desolate. So I was kind of alone in that area walking. So these dogs became very, they were showing too much ushari. So they came towards me to kind of bite me. Without doing anything, I was just walking and they were coming to. So then I was alarmed. I thought, why? What is happening? But somehow I love dogs also, and I can understand the psychology. And somehow I warded them off. But I could understand that this dog is very dangerous. He could potentially bite people. So I called the municipality. I said, "Idhar ek kutta hai, wo kaatega. Kisi na kisi ko to kaatega. Idhar aap dekh lijiye. Okay, theek hai. Aap aao wahan par aur identify karo kutte ko." So I went the next day, municipality car came and I was, so then I got confused because all the dogs, many dogs are looking similar. So I was saying, ye kutta hai kya, wo kutta hai kya. So then looking at the municipality car and looking at me, some dog lovers came there. Kya hai? They're protecting, you know, they have all the dogs have these dog collars and they come and regularly feed the dogs and all. And I was inspired, I was impressed, like people are really caring for the dogs. And now even cat lovers now, it's a fad, like cat lovers. People are like, you know, going and feeding the cats and everything. And yeah, it's become very prominent. But where do we find cow lovers? Rare. So people have still somehow, unfortunately, not understood the glory of the cow. And therefore here, it is a preview of what's going to happen in Kali Yuga. Yes? That people will not respect the cow, people will not respect Mother Earth, and they are trashing the earth and killing cows. And a very important, and therefore here, Parikshit Maharaj, being a leader, is not lazy, he's alert and he's giving an oral reception to what they have to say. And then he's going to take a step. He cannot have vested interests. And therefore Prabhupada says that such miscreants and such dishonest people reside in a kingdom where the leaders are cowardly and impotent. Prabhupada says in the purport. If you're a leader, you have to. You have to come forth and do your duty. And where the subjects are terrorized, where the subjects are living in constant fear, the blame goes to the leader, the king, and he loses his good name, he loses his long life, and he loses the opportunity for a higher birth in his next, in the year after. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying that my forefathers have always protected cows. And his grandfather and Yudhishthira, Arjun, Krishna. The gopis speak about it in the Chalasi Yat Vraja Charyan Pashun Alina Sundaram Nathate Padam Shila Trinankure Sidati Tinaha Kalilata Manaha Kanta Gachati. Gopis are saying Chalasi Yat Vraja Charyan Pashun. O Krishna, when you go into the forest for herding the cows, Nalina Sundaram Nathate Padam, those feet of yours which are as beautiful and as soft as lotus petals are getting pricked by the sharp ends of the grains and the grass and stones and pebbles. And we can't tolerate to think about it, because when we hold you, we carry you and place your feet on our breasts, we think that our breasts may give some discomfort to your feet. Your feet are so soft. And naturally, when you go herding cows, the cows are not going to walk along paved paths. They're going to wander in grassy lands. So naturally, Krishna will have to go. And the best thing is that Krishna never wore slippers. The gopis are saying that it's because when Krishna went to herd the cows, he did not wear slippers. Now, why didn't he wear slippers? Because in those days, you did not have Nike and Reebok and things like that, synthetic material. You know, you had shoes made up of leather. And Krishna did not want to intimidate the cows by wearing leather shoes, leather slippers. Even though the leathers in those days were made out of skin from dead cows. When a cow would die naturally, the skin would be used to make slippers or mridangas and things like that. But a cow would never be killed for their skin or their hide. But still, Krishna chose not to wear leather shoes just because it may be intimidating to the cows, because he has so much of love for the cow. For he says, Chalasi yat vraja charyan pashun nalina sundaram nathate padam shila trinankure sidati tinaha kalilata manaha kantagachati. And he's saying, Nathate padam, he's saying, that you are the Nath, you are the Lord. You are a very rich boy. You are the son of a king. His father was Nanda Baba, who had so many hundreds, lakhs of cows. And he had many servants. He could delegate the activity of herding the cows. There was no need for him to go personally to herd the cows. But still he was doing it personally. Why? That is a sign of love. Because when there is love, you will not delegate that activity. You will do it personally. So Krishna is personally going, herding the cows in the forest, and he's going barefooted, simply out of love. Namo Brahmani Devaya Go Brahmana Hiteya Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namah. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying, in the past has never happened. We have always protected cows, we have always protected the bull. You know the story of Radhakund and Shyamakund, where a demon comes in the form of a bull. Arishtasur, yes? And Krishna kills that demon. And Radharani points out, why did you kill that bull? So Krishna says, it is not a bull, it was an asura. But still, it came in the form of a bull, and the form of a bull is auspicious. So therefore, you have sinned and you have to perform austerities, tapasya. So Krishna says, all right, what austerity should I do? You have to take bath in all the holy rivers of the universe. Done. Krishna closed his eyes, remembered the holy rivers, Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati, Kaveri, Narmada, Sindhu, all of them appeared. He dug a hole in the ground with his flute and commanded them to fill it up. He went and took a bath and he said, now I am pure, yes? Now you will have to take a bath because you have sinned, because you have falsely accused me of having committed a sin which I have not committed. Okay, what should I do? You also should take a bath in all the holy rivers. Take bath in my kunda. No, no, I will create my own kunda. And then Radha Kund appeared. Sham Kund appeared. So Radharani's logic that you should have converted and transformed him into his original form and then killed him. Why did you kill him in the form of a bull? You see, that way. But actually Krishna wanted to present the logic that dharma without Krishna consciousness, you could speak about moral principles, you can speak about so many things, all in the name of dharma, but if you don't support Krishna, if you do not push Krishna forward, that dharma is useless. And therefore killed. It's a representation of false religion, false religious principles, Acharya has explained, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. So therefore, this very important principle is upheld by Parikshit Maharaj, being the descendant of these great devotees, who are upholding Vedic Brahminical culture. And so also we in our whatever insignificant way should contribute to this mission of protecting the cows and protecting our mother earth, because somehow we are left behind in this aspect. Land of dharma, but I was telling yesterday that, you know, in our base one boy came from Japan. 3 or 4 or 5 years he stayed in Japan and he came. And he was saying, Prabhu, ये Japanese लोगों में ना उनके खून में सफाई है. They are genetically coded to be clean. Because if you put them, a small child also in a room and the room is dirty, he will first clean the room and then he will stay inside. I said, really? Wow, that's amazing. I was thinking in my mind that in our blood, Indian blood, something about dirtying things, I think. Because when we see a clean place, we think, ah, very nice. And people spit ghutka and they spit paan and throw dirt. Like in an ashram, in front of our ashram, you know, we have the CCTV camera. Right in front of our ashram, this ghutka ka packet one man was throwing. So I saw in the CCTV and I told him, I caught him and I told him, dekho kachre ka dabba idhar hi hai na. Idhar hi hai na. Tumko wo paan ka jo wo hai, packet hai, uske andar nahi dal sakte kya? Udhar hi phekna hai kya tumko? It is just here only, the dabba. But he will put it there on the staircase. So then I told him, mat karo aisa. So, theek hai sir, nahi karenge. And then he started putting outside Govinda's matchless gift down. So I found that they are so addicted, you know, so addicted. So that was not our culture, Vedic culture, purity, cleanliness. Reuse, recycle, repair. Those were our motive, Vedic motive. Today now that has become the agenda for these, you know, save the environment, save the climate. So here we can see all those principles. And all the holy rivers have been polluted. If you see, mostly, unfortunately. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can, by the propagation of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things can be dealt with, can be corrected. हरे कृष्ण श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की गौर प्रेमानंदी